Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, March 20th. I want to thank you guys for joining us this evening. I'm excited about tonight's conversation. We have celebrity makeup artist and new author, Dita Massey, on the phone, and she's going to be here talking about her new book, Face Values, The Foundation of Beauty. But first, I want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have a comment or a question, please make sure you, I believe there's an option to raise your hand. And make sure you push that option, and that way we'll know that you wanna talk. I want to turn it over now to my sister Denise, who has some beauty news. Okay, I'm sorry. Can you start that over? I still have you on mute.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the show tonight. Very briefly, I just have a few items for the beauty news tonight. The California Makeup Academy presents Beauty and the Beast Makeup Competitions. This takes place live on Sunday, June 5th and Monday, June 6th at the Premier Day Spa with the Spa Business Forum in Orlando, Florida. Again, the weekend of June 4th through the 6th this year at the Orlando County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, Beauty and the Beast Makeup Competition presented by California Makeup Academy. It will take place on the demo stage in Exhibit Hall A4 on Sunday, June 5th. It takes place from 1 to 3 p.m. The Beast Competition on Monday, June 6th. The Beauty Competition takes place from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Each competitor will receive complimentary two-day show passes to the Premier Day Spa and a model pass as well. They will receive a $100 voucher toward California Makeup Academy classes, an 11-piece studio pro set, along with a 120-color neutral eyeshadow palette from Crown Brush. The competition is judged by Michelle Richardson, Karen L., and AJ Crimson. to register for these competitions. If you register on or before April 23rd, the cost will be $95 per competition. After April 23rd, from April 24th to June 3rd, the cost will be $115 per competition. Excuse me. For more information on Beauty and the Beast competitions, you can go to premierdayspa.biz. Again, premierdayspa.biz to get information on the competition itself, the prizes, and the rules, and to register. Also coming up, I've mentioned this once before, here in Atlanta, Georgia, Gwyneth Mosby's PMAC, which is the Professional Makeup Artist Conference and Expo, taking place April 2nd through the 3rd, located at 200 Peachtree Street in Atlanta, Georgia. The PMAC Expo will include panel discussions with industry's leading artists. It will also have educational classes, workshops, and demonstrations in the fields of bridal, fantasy, beauty, special effects, and fashion. There will be a wide variety of vendors providing cutting-edge makeup and supplies. There will be a Masters of Maquillage live makeup competition. The Maki Awards is an award show honoring the most prominent artists in their field. Again, this takes place April 2nd through the 3rd. For more information, you can call 678-871-PMAC. Again, it's 678-871-PMAC. You can email for more information at info@pmacexpo.com. Again, that's info@pmacexpo.com. And you can follow them on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, and they're PMAC Expo. And this is a bit of news. A bit of news that I found to be interesting. L'Oreal Paris invests in a makeup genius app. They partnered with the actual development company of the app. L'Oreal's Makeup Genius app, which uses advanced facial detection to virtually apply makeup in real time, has proved to be a hit. Recognizing the further potential, L'Oreal Paris has invested in its development by entering into an exclusive partnership with U.S.-based Image Metrics, the augmented reality company behind the project. Originally launched in 2014, Makeup Genius works as a mirror, using technology to allow users to apply makeup virtually and in real time. By monitoring each user's unique facial features, it allows people to try out different products and share the results on social media prior to purchasing. The app, which provides access to the brand's extensive catalog of products, claims almost 20 million users worldwide. According to L'Oreal, the partnership deal will mean the beauty brand gets exclusive use of the technology behind the app. This will enable the development of new features and the addition of new products and functionalities. I wonder if other major brands will follow suit.
That'll be interesting to watch. For sure.
That's it for my beauty news.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Again, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. I am happy to have Dita on the line, so let me just go ahead and bring her in. Hey, girl, hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey. I'm fine. How is everyone?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm excited to have you on tonight.
I'm excited to be on. I'm excited
what
to be on.
Have
Thank
you been,
for having me
what
on
have you
again.
Been, what have you been doing since we saw you last?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Since I saw you guys last, well, you know, in Chicago, it's a lot going on with the productions. Productions
mm-hmm.
are blossoming everywhere throughout the city, which is
nice.
A fantastic thing. So, I have been working on Chicago Fire as a day player, but I feel like I am the fourth or third makeup artist. It's been really good. Empire, I did Empire recently for the finale mm-hmm. for season two. and they just wrapped that show. But I was the key makeup artist for Common, the rapper Common, a pilot that he shot here in Chicago called The Shy, and it's supposed to get picked up by Showtime.
Oh, nice.
So just been on a lot of production. So since I saw you guys last, I think I saw you guys in December, so I did that before December, but it just seems like everything just kind of comes together and runs together.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been consistently working on Chicago Fire, so it's been great. It's been a blessing.
Good. That's great. And we've pretty much been doing the same thing, just working on productions. And, you know, that can take up a lot of your time.
Yes, 12, 14-hour days. Absolutely. Very exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand, you know, they want to do TV and film, but it's a lot that goes behind the scenes to make that happen.
Absolutely. We've been averaging 16 hours a day every day,
ooh,
if not more.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a lot.
It is. And today we had, you know, of course it's supposed to be our off day, but we had the promotional photo shoot with the cast.
Okay.
You know, we're operating on very little, but we're here, and we're glad to be here and glad to be speaking to you tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me. And since
Absolutely.
I have seen you guys, I launched my first book.
Yes.
And it's called Face Values, The Foundation of Beauty. And I launched it this January, and it's been going and doing very well. So I'm very excited to talk about that.
Well, first I want to say congratulations for launching your first book. I'm happy about it.
Thank you.
I enjoyed reading it, and it was so much here. I was telling my sister before, you know, when we were discussing tonight's show, I said, you know, I really don't know where to begin. And how I really want to approach this conversation. Because, you know, like, I don't know if we asked you this on our last show, but, you know, we always ask all of our guests at the end of the mm-hmm. show what beauty is to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So as a part of tonight's conversation, I want to get into what beauty is to you, but then mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about, of course, what inspired you to write this book, but I know that there are so many things probably about what you do in life
mm-hmm.
has a lot
mm-hmm.
to do with your past and some of the things that you've gone through. So I kind of want to know, even though I did read the book, but I still want you to talk about a lot of talk about your journey and what led you to the point of writing this book.
Absolutely. So I guess this book is was very transparent and very
mm-hmm.
transformational for me. And so what led me to write the book is for people to see the transparency in the person that I am today. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we see people on social media outlets or, you know, we Google them and see celebrity this, celebrity that, or, oh, she's doing this, she's doing great. But they don't know the story behind,
right.
You know, how did you get there, or the story behind, or the trials, or the tribulations, or the struggles. And so I wanted to share with readers in my audience, especially young women and women too, that how I moved from a place of, first of all, one part of the book talks about how I moved from corporate America to just stepping out on faith and pursuing my passion, which is makeup. And so that component is just about dreaming beyond what you see. And so I talk about that in the book of how I relied on corporate America. I relied on a paycheck, receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks. And something inside of me wanted more. And something inside of me not only just wanted more, but just wanted to do more in the world. And so I talk about in the book how I was very transparent about how I took a leap of faith and moved to Los Angeles to pursue my passion of doing makeup. Another component of the book talks about just even my past, just how the struggles with my own self-esteem, some confidence issues that I had with the loss of my father, and how tragically losing him to gun violence actually propelled me to where I am now, that I can talk to young women through my organization, which is Real Beauty, Inc., about their struggles and some of the things that they go through. So sometimes with the girls that I've mentored and encountered today, I can see that the exterior is crying for help while the interior is crying for help while the exterior is this hard person who wants to look at you and who wants to fight. But because I can relate to that person, because I used to be that person, I know how to break that shell or break those barriers with young women. And so I talk about that as well. And so the book just kind of takes you through the whole journey of beauty and what beauty really is. And ultimately, what we teach our girls and through my organization is that beauty is skin deep. So it really is a transformational part about what's going on the inside, and whatever is happening on the inside is what eventually will come out on the outside.
Right.
And so that's what really inspired me is to tell my story from the perspective of being a dreamer and stepping out on faith, and also to tell my story from a perspective of somebody who has made it, so to speak, or who has gotten to this place, but for people to understand and know that it wasn't easy. And these are the things that I had to do. These are the things that I went through to get to this place. So,
Well, let's talk. I want to jump in a little bit about beauty, but first let's just talk briefly because, you know, my sister and I both have been there as well where, you know, you work in a corporate environment for years. You start doing makeup or desire to do makeup and just taking that leap of faith. And I know there are a lot of makeup artists out there listening who are still working their regular jobs and you know, they want to do this kind of work. Can you just share a little bit of that experience or what would you, also just tell me, what would you say to those people out there who want to do makeup or pursue whatever the career, you know, their career goals are, but they're still, you know, working their regular jobs. They're afraid to leave and they really don't know how to go about it.
Well, for me, I don't know. When I left my job, it was almost, it felt like an out of body experience. Nothing in specifically was wrong with my job. I actually love my job. I had a great job. I was just finishing law school, obtaining my master's of jurisprudence in child and family law from Loyola. And so for me, I just did not want to be under a control of someone's control anymore. You know what I mean? For me, I just knew deep down inside of me that I was a leader and that God had made me to become a leader. And so I just didn't want the monotonous of working routine 9 to 5 or 8:30 to 4:30 and someone checking to see what time you came in. I just knew it was something better for me and greater for me. And so for those who want to step out on faith or want to leave their jobs, they just really have to tap into the courage. You know, because we all have the ability to do it. You just have to tap into that strength and that courage and that tenacity and that faith within and just say, you know what, I know that God has something better for me. I know that there's something out there better for me that I can give this world. I know that my gifts, my talents, I can share it on a greater level. I can share it with people who I probably would have never thought I would meet. I can share it here. I can share it there. You know, I felt that, you know, for me, it was time to relocate. I remember working, and I was working, as I was working a job, I was also working a plan. And so the plan was to quit the job. But I did not just quit the job. I had a plan in place. So while I'm at the job, I was working the plan. And as I was working the plan to quit the job, then the plan began to work for me. And when I say that, I say, for instance, I began to research the areas of makeup. Now, today, how I stepped out and the things that I did, some things don't exist today, like music videos. You know, when I first started doing makeup, we were still doing music videos. Hype Williams, Paul Hunter, you know, we were doing, I was doing all those videos, but that's, you know, that's extinct now. We, you know, video budgets are gone. Videos are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people are still doing them, but not to the level they were in the early 90s.
Right.
But I had a plan. And so I remember taking, I could not think of her name, but I know her first name is Crystal. And she had a book called Set the Pace.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal,
Wright. Crystal
yes.
Wright.
Mm-hmm. She would do these seminars all over the country. Well, not the country, but just nationwide about, you know, this industry. And I remember her coming to Chicago, and I took the class. And I was just, I remember one part of the book, I bought the book Set the Pace, and I still have that book to this day. And I remember one part of the book said relocate. And so I began to pray about that. I'm like, relocate. Now, I never thought about, I didn't have a problem relocating, but I never thought in a million years I would move to L.A. And so I just kind of just researched it. I talked to a friend who was an agent at Four Models here in Chicago, and I asked her, could she put me on some jobs? I would like to assist some of her makeup artists. She did that. I would go on these jobs on my lunch and assist on a weekend. I would get jobs at the counter to build my confidence and also to, you know, to work with other ethnicities and other people. You know, that helps build your confidence because I didn't go to school for makeup. I worked at the makeup counters at Saks, at Marshall Fields at the time, at, you know, just different counters, Laura Mercier, NARS, Bobbi Brown. I worked at as many cosmetic companies as I could. And for that, hindsight 2020, when I look back, that was helping to build my confidence, you know, because you know, you have the average woman coming in trying on blush and stuff, but it teaches you how to place blush on the cheek. It teaches you how to place eyeshadow on the eye. And so I was really building my confidence. And so the more and more I got stronger and more my decision became clearer that I needed to quit this job and relocate and really pursue this thing. And so that's when I quit my job and moved to Los Angeles. And, you know, not only did I find my passion, but I also found my purpose. And that's my organization, Real Beauty, Inc. So, you know, it's just something that if you know that you have something to offer to this world, to, you know, to people, that I would just say tap into the courage within, tap into the faith within, and move boldly and do it. Do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if there was one thing that you could do differently from that experience, you had the faith to quit your job and move to Los Angeles. If there was one thing, and I know, and I heard you say you were, you had a plan and you were working the plan. Through that whole period, as well as when you left Chicago and went to Los Angeles, was there anything that you would have done differently while trying to work that plan?
You know what? I have no regrets. It's nothing I would have done differently. I'm interestingly, you asked that question. It's nothing I would have done differently. Not one thing. I really, truly worked this plan. You know what I mean? Because I hear stories, and I hear some horror stories. I hear some failure stories. People move to L.A., their car gets repossessed, they can't pay their rent, they're out on the street. And I'm just like, that wasn't my story. You know what I mean? Because I really worked my plan. You know what I mean? I'm like, I would hear the things about L.A., oh, people out there are pretentious, oh, it's expensive, oh, you know, how friends you're going to make? And I'm like, how are you going to make friends, and how are you going to, you know? And I was just like, I wasn't really worried about all that. I really wasn't. And I didn't even sneak out to go to L.A. to be a celebrity makeup artist. I remember someone posted on Facebook, like, you know, people talk about celebrity this, celebrity that. It's so overrated. And I said, well, you know what? I disagree. I own my title. I said, because if you knew my story, I own that title. You know what I mean? Yeah, everybody now today wants to be a celebrity makeup artist. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I don't just walk up to people and say, hey, I'm a celebrity makeup artist. I could care less, but to a certain degree, I am. I've worked with celebrities, but I did not move to L.A. to work with celebrities. I moved to L.A. just to do makeup.
Right.
I had enough faith and went out there and had no idea that I would work with celebrities. You know, I didn't go out there with that agenda. I just went out there because I loved the passion. I had a passion to do makeup, and that's what was important to me. It wasn't about meeting a celebrity and blowing up. I could care less, you know, but that was in the cards for me. That was God's plan for me, you know.
That's right.
And so, you know, it just kind of happened like that because, you know, he had that in store for me. And so, you know, it's just, when I look back on it, I'm just like, God, I'm just so glad that I did it, because I really didn't have any regrets. I sold, you know, when it's God's plan, it's effortless. I was living in a condo at the time. I just graduated from law school. My best friend moved into my condo. I shipped my car. I pulled money down from my, I think it was like a 401K. I used that money, gave myself 6 months to find myself a job, to get, you know, to get acclimated to the you know, jobs out there, to find a job out there. And I used that money to live off of until I found out, you know, who was over the industry in terms of makeup counters. And I moved to L.A. and worked at makeup counters until I got on my feet. So that was my income. So I used the same mentality that I had in Chicago working at makeup counters, and I moved to L.A. and took that same mentality and worked at makeup counters. And then my roommate at the time, she was a hairstylist from Chicago. She found the salon. And at the time, this was a big this was a salon where all the celebrities would go. It used to, on Melrose, it was called Millennium. It was like Melrose and Fairfax. Like, no, it was on Fairfax or something. But all the stars was going there, and she was in there shampooing hair. And we were just going there and talk to people and talk to people, and one of the hairstylists who we know today, Kaya Wright, she invited me on some music video shoots. And she was like, you want to come on some music video shoots? Just like that, just networking at the salon. I said, sure.
Right.
So when I looked up, I was on DMX video shoot with her. And then I met AJ Crimson. I met him on Melrose at the Mac store. He was working at the Mac store. I went in there one day just to purchase some makeup to do a photo shoot in L.A., just a test shoot. And he and I ended up talking, and we became friends. And he said, hey, I got a job coming up. It was with the first video with Keisha Cole featuring Kanye West. So that's just how it happened. It was effortless. And it's just strategic positioning. It's just being at the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
And that's
all
it's
all about.
Yep. Yep. That's what it's all about. So, yeah. Go ahead.
So from your career in L.A., what led you to working with young girls?
Well, I guess it really came, the purpose really came when I was advocating for the job I had here in Chicago before I quit and moved to L.A. was advocating for abused and neglected children for Cook County Public Guardian's Office. And there was a compassion I had for the children, or I should say the teenagers, who were being emancipated from the system. And so I just saw a need. You know, I didn't know exactly what that meant, but a girlfriend of mine at the time who worked also there, she was talking about starting a nonprofit, and I was like, I never thought about that, but I do want to do something. If I leave here, I do want to give back and serve in this capacity. And so she was telling me how she was starting her nonprofit, you know, to help some youth, and I was like, okay. So while I was still trying to get acclimated in Los Angeles, I used that time to create my nonprofit. So Real Beauty actually started in Los Angeles. And I filled out, you know, some articles of incorporation there to start it there. But, you know, God was like, no, go back home to Chicago and start it. And so that's what I did. I would come home on the weekends or come home when I could. And I began to file the articles here and get everything in place here to work with young girls. So the inspiration came while I was working at the Public Guardian's Office.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I know that you talk to young girls about self-esteem and about beauty. And how are some of the young girls out there, what are some of their thoughts on self-esteem and how they view themselves?
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of like some girls feel like they have the best self-esteem, and some girls feel like they have no self-esteem. And so what we teach girls through Real Beauty is that we don't tell them that they have no self-esteem, low self-esteem, or lack of self-esteem. We end up finding that out, my facilitator. We find that out throughout the duration of the program as we implement workshops. But what we want girls to understand is that their self-esteem will be challenged. Like, you give them examples, like, say, the eighth grade boy doesn't pick you to go to the dance, and you really wanted him to, you really like him. and you feel a sense of rejection. And so we give them scenarios like that. What will you feel like? Do you feel like something's wrong with you? Do you look at, you know, do you compare yourself to the girl that he did choose? You know, what are the thoughts that run through your mind? And these are the things that we try to teach them, that this is how your self-esteem will be challenged. So we don't like to tell our girls that you don't have any self-esteem or you have low self-esteem, although we do detect some of that, you know, in our workshops with the girls. But we like to identify, help them identify who they are and where they are, and help them and encourage them in ways where they can build their self-esteem, where they can understand who they are, whose they are, and how to combat all the negativity, all the things that we see on social media or in media or on Love and Hip Hop, all these shows, these reality shows that show so much mess and foolishness. You know what I mean? We try to combat mm-hmm. all those negative portrayals and images and really teach our girls to tap into who they really are. And sometimes they come from family dynamics that aren't so good. And so we try to even show them that some of us come from not so good families, and, you know, we don't have good family morals and values instilled, but we still want them to know that they're still priceless, that they're still diamonds in the rough, and that they still have a place in this world to shine, you know, and to do great things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. getting back into the book,
mm-hmm.
I basically want to know, and actually it's one of the titles of your chapters too, the truth mm-hmm. behind beauty. I want to talk a little bit about the truth behind beauty. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we let society and television and magazines and things of that nature dictate to us what beauty is and what beauty looks
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
But what is beauty to you? How do you define beauty?
I define beauty with the confidence of with confidence of knowing who you are, and I define mm-hmm. beauty of loving who you are. You know what I mean? And it's
Absolutely.
Not just so much about your body. I guess it is. It's about your body. It's about, you know, and sometimes for me, it's some things about my body, some things I don't like, you know, like my stomach. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But
right. We all got that problem.
Right. To embrace it and, you know, eat better, do something better, but just
mm-hmm.
love yourself where you are. You know what I'm saying? It's just
right.
almost like God loves us right where we are. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's just
I
loving
think that's
yourself
key.
Where you are. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, not to
Absolutely.
Say I don't want a flat stomach or wouldn't do anything to try to get a flat stomach, but I'm just saying, you know, just love yourself where you are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
With a big stomach or a flat stomach.
That's right. I mean, I really love that definition because, I mean, you're right. It's accepting and loving yourself as you are. I mean, and
mm-hmm.
identifying those issues that you may have and making the efforts to do something about it. But okay,
right.
so maybe I don't exercise as much as I should be. But guess what? I love
right.
me as I am. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
so that's how I define. Yeah.
Now, how do you get young girls to understand that definition of beauty?
Well,
you know,
we have a 14. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, because, you know, with them being young, of course, they always look to, you know, television and magazines and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So how do you get them to
mm-hmm.
understand?
Well, we go through a series of workshops and a series
mm-hmm.
of questions and scenarios. You know, and it's funny you say that because I always tell my facilitators, like, we just don't want to come in here and teach a lesson. We want to come in here and impact them. We want to come in there
mm-hmm.
and get them to think, because when we're not in front of them and they want to do something that is harmful or hurtful to themselves because they don't like this or like that about themselves, we want them to remember real beauty. You know what I mean? We want them to remember the things that we're teaching them. And so we do that by offering a series of workshops. We do that by, you know, having them say affirmations, you know, Who are you? I am beautiful. Who created you, God? What are you? I'm more than a conqueror. So we believe the more they say that, the more they believe it, the more they become it. You know what I mean? It's almost like planting a seed and just watering the seed with every affirmation and every word that they repeat. And so it's really through kind of like a drill, like really drilling this thing in their mind, really getting this thing in their head that they are beautiful and just loving yourself where you are and really like being transparent as well, like showing, telling them some of my struggles and testimonies. You know what I'm saying? Because the more we're transparent, the more truth can prevail, the more, you know, they can relate to us, you know. But if we come in all the time, you know, like, oh, I'm a celebrity makeup artist and I work for Empire, or I worked on Empire, I worked on Chicago Fire, they're like, okay, you know, how are you going to tell us about beauty? And that's why my book is so transparent, because I want them to see that I, too, lost my father at an early age. You know, I went through some abandonment issues. I went through anger issues and all of those things. And so when my girls hear my story, then it's almost like I reel them in. And they're like, oh, okay. I, too, am from the south side of Chicago where it's just violence everywhere, you know, and I made it out, you know. So when they see that and hear that, then that inspires them to want to become better.
So, Dina, let me ask you this. Can you share with us just a little bit about how you made it out, how you kind of overcame some of those abandonment issues and things like that? I'm sure, you know, with your father being murdered, I'm sure there was a lot of bitterness towards the person that killed him. Can you just share a little bit about how you got through all of that?
Yeah, sure. I didn't go to counseling. You know, I'm not saying counseling is not for anyone. I didn't go to therapy or anything like that. It was really the prayers of my mother and my grandmother, and the validation that I got from them, and the strength that came from them. I did not realize how my father's death would affect me until I got in my adolescent years, and even as a woman, you know, now. You know, I didn't understand the effects of it then. You know what I mean? And so I can look back now and saw how my behaviors was, you know, contributed to that. But I really began to see a lot of my behaviors come out as I was dating and things of that nature, and as a woman, you know what I mean? And I just began to really have real conversations with God, like, why me, God? You know, why didn't he grow up without father? You know, just some real conversation, you know. And so I began to just, really, it was just God helping me, not accept it, but deal with it. Really deal with it, yeah.
So you
and
said
so that's how I was able to kind of overcome it a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you just said was real important, because you said not to accept it, but to deal with it. And I think a lot of times, a lot of people, it's hard for a lot of people to get out of certain things because they want to be able to accept it.
Well, right,
it's hard to accept a lot of things that are thrown at you in life. And I think if you just focus on how to deal with it, how to live with it, I think you can overcome so much more.
Exactly. So, you know, I didn't have a woe is me party, you know what I mean? I didn't, you know, tell people, I didn't play the victim like some people want to do. Because, you know, the reality is that it's not that no one cares, but no one is going to baby you for the rest of your life because you lost your father, your mother. So you have to just pull up your bootstraps and say, you know, this is my situation, this is what I'm dealing with, but somewhere in here is a blessing, somewhere in here is a testimony, somewhere in here is my story where I can share it and help someone else. And that's what I chose to do, not to wallow in the pain and the agony, but really just, you know, take ownership of it. Didn't like it, still does, you know, I can't say that I'm still over it, you know what I mean? But this is what it is, and this is what I'm dealing with, you know what I mean? And when I feel like it's overwhelming, I feel like, you know, those emotions, you know, come up, you know, just about the whole situation, I just say, you know, I just talk to God like I'm talking to you all. I'm like, you know, Lord, you just got to help me. You know, mm-hmm. so.
And I think most of the times, or I dare to say all the time, we go through things in life to help others. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It's our training. You know what I mean? It's our what's the word that I'm looking for? It's almost like our boot camp to helping some other, you know, to helping other people. Because if you had not have gone through the things that you went through, do you think Real Beauty would be in existence today? Maybe.
No.
But maybe not.
But maybe not. But not as effective and impactful as it has been.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying other organizations out here who don't have a story, they're not effective. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of our girls have lost their fathers. A lot of our girls grew up without fathers. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I can relate to them, and they can relate to me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's basically what I'm saying. You know.
What is the main point that you're trying to get across in your book? What is it that you want everyone to know?
What I want everybody to know who reads my book is to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Who they are. And that to love to learn themselves where they are. Yep. And that God has a plan for your life. Those are the three things. I know you said one, but I gave three. That I want people to get when they read my book. You know, I want them to be empowered. I want them to be inspired. I want them to be encouraged. You know, I just really do when a woman reads my book. You know, it's a quick read. It's a powerful read. You know what I mean? I'm not a James Baldwin, but I did the best in writing it.
Right.
And, you know, just really touching someone and say, just dream beyond where you are. I always tell my girls that dream beyond what you see, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I did. I really did. And when I look back, I'm like, you know, I dreamed beyond what I saw. And it's so much more to live for, so much more to do. And you cannot give up in these years of adolescence. You have to push forward and expect the best. You know, and so many times we look at our circumstances, we look at the cards that life has dealt us. But just because life dealt you that stack of cards does not mean you have to accept it. You have the power to change, you know, everything that's happening, whether positive or better. We have the choice to change things. And so that's what I did. You know what I mean? I pushed, I studied, I did everything I needed to do. I worked hard for everything I have. And nothing was given to me. I wish somebody would give me something. But everything I have, I worked for. I worked for everything. Everything.
You know, one of the things that I found to be cute about your book is like all the stuff that we're talking about now, you know,
mm-hmm.
is in these chapters. And
mm-hmm.
then at the end of each chapter, you had a makeup tip or a beauty tip.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did.
Which I
yes.
found to
yes.
be so cute. You know, it's like,
oh, thank you.
Which I think is wonderful because, you know, a lot of times when you talk about beauty, that's what people think of. They think of, you know, what's on the outside, beauty and makeup
right.
and things like that. So it was cute
right.
that you had that the tips in the book. But really, the book to me deals a lot with what's on the inside, what's going on the inside.
Right,
which to me
absolutely.
Is what beauty is all about.
Well,
and
I just wanted to kind of bridge the gap between my passion and purpose. You know what I mean? So
right.
the chapters of the book is more about my purpose and about me and transformation and transparency, but. At the end of each chapter, and actually God gave me the vision, like, put a tip at the end, a beauty tip. And they're not, you know, beauty tips that we as professionals can do. You know, I have a million of those that we can do in the trailer. But, you know, for the average person, I just want to leave something simple, and even for young women, a cute, quick beauty tip that they could use.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is something I wanted to read from your book, which is
sure.
It's a chapter that I really enjoyed this part of this chapter. But in chapter 10, the beauty of knowing who you are. And I enjoyed this part right here where it says, understanding who we are is one of the most important lessons in life. It helps in every area of our lives, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, and financially. Being sure and knowing who we are gives us the liberty to operate in a place of security. It creates a positive identity for yourself and allows you to become wiser with the choices you make. The most valuable mm-hmm. lesson I've learned about knowing who I am is to never compromise my beliefs. What I know for sure is that once we relinquish all our fears to God and allow God to develop, shape, and mold us into the vessels he wants us to become, we are certain to discover the beauty of who we are. That right there just kind of just summed it all up.
Yes, it does. Yep,
mm-hmm.
That's it. I remember writing that sentence. Yes, I remember writing that sentence. It is true. Once we relinquish, and relinquish meaning let go.
Right.
Letting go. Letting go of the fears, you know, pushing past the fears, pushing past the hurts, pushing past the disappointments, pushing past the failures, if any. You know what I mean? Which there will be. You know, pushing past all of that, the misunderstanding, everything, and just give it to God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just think sometimes getting to this, to that point, and that was like very close to the end of the book, but I think in our lives, getting close to that point and that understanding of beauty and how beautiful we are, it takes a lot of soul searching, being real honest with ourselves.
Yes, with yourself, yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And just taking a look at yourself, and then you talked about the transparency and that kind of thing. It takes a lot of dealing with you.
Yes.
To get
to
the bottom, you know, of what beauty really is to you and in your life.
Absolutely.
And getting to a point where you can, like we talked earlier about accepting who we are and just being happy about who we are and dealing with the things that we want to change.
We want to change, absolutely. Absolutely, that's it.
Can you talk a little bit about one of your fundraisers that I've found to be interesting, the Coin Purse Monologues?
Yes. So the Coin Purse Monologues we did for 3 years straight. It was something that we partnered with a woman here. Her name, well, she's no longer, she's deceased now. Her name is Sharon McGee. But she had an initiative she had something called the Pocketbook Monologues.
Yes.
It was about, she died, unfortunately, of ovarian cancer. And she
talked
about the pocketbook being a woman's vagina, you know, just about the things that the vagina goes through, whether it is birth, whether it is ovarian cancer, anything, you know, from that perspective. So we partnered with her, and she came up with the Coin Purse Monologues. And it's just basically a monologue that our girls did about the things that they struggle with, whether it be rape or, you know, the things that happen to them. And so the girls would perform these monologues that she wrote, and it was powerful. And I wanted to do it on a large scale, but unfortunately, like I said, she passed, and there were some issues with her estate. Nevertheless, we were trying to resurrect that vision for last year, and we didn't get the funding, so we're going to try again for this year because, I mean, it was just powerful to see these young girls tell their story through monologues. So it's great.
Wow.
And we have, I think on our website, we're in the process of updating our website. I think it's a video on there of the girls, a quick video of the girls doing the monologues. So who knows? Somebody may see it and fund us, you know.
Right.
Tour or something, you know. But it's a great performance. It really is.
Nice.
And Dina, since you do a lot of work with young girls and women, but for women, what do you think our responsibility is to young
for
women?
For women, to mentor, to reach back, to give back. Oh, yeah. Yes, to tell our story to a young girl, to be transparent. That's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Nice.
To reach back. Absolutely.
And what are some of the young girls who've read this book? What are they saying about the book?
They're like, well, Ms. D, we didn't know you went through all that. you know, stuff like that. Oh, it's this is a good book. It's a good read. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for encouraging us. Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
That's the feedback. That's the feedback. And I'm just, like, blown away because I'm like, oh, little old me wrote this book.
Right, right.
But, you know, again, I did what God told me to do, just like he told me to move to L.A. So he has the plan. So he has a plan for this book.
Right. Tell everybody where you can get the book.
So you can get the book at www.thebookfaithvalue.com. Or you can get the book on Amazon. But if you go to the website, you'll read some testimonials, see what people are saying about the book, see some pictures of people who've already bought the book, and you can buy the book directly off the website because there's an Amazon link on the website, and that's www.thebookfaithvalues.com.
All right, cool. Did you do a book tour?
I did. Well, I did my book signing the day of my birthday, which was January 28th. And I had my first book signing in Chicago. It was phenomenal. It was a great, great turnout. I mean, more people came from high school to support me, so I'm very grateful. After that, I was supposed to go to L.A., but I had to reschedule because my mom ended up having emergency surgery the day of my birthday and book signing. But she's doing
well now.
And so I had to just kind of reschedule everything to get her back in good health. But I'm back on, and this summer I'm going to go to L.A., Atlanta, and just do, you know, some book signings in Detroit, Atlanta, L.A., and Detroit, Atlanta, and L.A., and New York. Those are the cities I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay on the website, sign up, then you'll know those dates that I'll go into those cities.
Well, when you come to Atlanta, let's plan to do, I mean, I know you're going to do, like, you know, a big book signing, but then let's plan to do a small group discussion.
Oh, absolutely. Even if that's, you know, it doesn't have to be big or small or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm down, you know, for whatever and any way that you guys, actually, I was going to call you guys so you all can help me figure out where to have it, how to have it. You know, because I want as many people to come and women to come and, you know, just hear my testimony and just share it. You know, buying a book is wonderful, but I really want people to get inspired behind why I wrote the book, and then that would inspire them to buy the book.
Absolutely. We'll figure it out.
Absolutely. So we will definitely be in touch.
For sure. Now, are you on Chicago Fire tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow, but I am there Tuesday.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yes.
Tuesday.
We are back
are
at it
guys
again
tomorrow. Okay.
Yep, back at it.
My bad. Back at it tomorrow. Yeah, I'm off tomorrow, but I'll be back at it for the rest of the week. Trust and believe.
You know, I have to check that show out. What day of the week does that come on?
It comes on Tuesdays. NBC, to check your local listings. Normally here in Chicago, it comes on at 9 o'clock at the Chicago Med. And now they're bringing a show here called Chicago Justice. So this one is really doing a thing here. Yeah, it starts in September. And so the spinoff will be coming from PD, Chicago PD.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
well, you'll be working.
Posted on that. Yes, indeed. Yes,
we'll be working,
indeed.
But we all have to find a project one day that we all can work on together.
Now, wouldn't that just be awesome?
It would.
Wouldn't that be.
Be
awesome? It would be. And it will happen.
Actually,
it'll happen.
But actually.
Look,
actually.
But if it's,
Actually, I have a couple, but we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Later.
Okay, let's make it happen.
Look, but if it happens in Chicago, I'm hoping it's in the summer.
I know that's right. But you know what? We had a great winter. We had a great winter. So
I think everybody did, really.
I know
all
the L.A. folks, they really were happy about that. Yeah, we had a great winter.
Yeah. Yeah, the winter was pretty mild this year.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Except
it
in the north,
yeah.
The northeast, they caught a lot of snow, but
even there, it could have been worse, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it could have. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah.
All righty, lady. I'm going to be telling everybody about the book. I've been actually on Twitter.
Thank you.
Kind of quoting some things from the book. So I'll continue to do that because it's just some very important stuff in here.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And we will
thank you.
Keep the word going. So just basically shout out all of your, like, your personal website and your where people can find
you
on social media.
Sure. So they can find me on social media at The Makeup Maven. That's on Facebook, The Makeup Maven. Social media, Twitter is at Dita Massey, and Instagram is Dita Massey as well. So real simple,
right.
Twitter at Dita Massey, Instagram Dita Massey, and The Makeup Maven on Facebook. Give me some likes.
All right.
All right. Thank you all so much for having me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to promote my book. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I really appreciate it. And so we'll definitely talk offline about these projects.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. You all have
all
a
right,
great
girl.
Evening.
Thank
you again
so
for allowing me to come on. Okay, no problem. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you go out and check out Dita's book. Purchase a copy. I believe it's $20, I think, the book is. I can't remember. But, again, her website is DitaMassey.com. The book is called – the book's website is the book – okay, you know what? I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to say it – I'm probably saying it wrong. The book, FaceValues.com. I think that's what it is. Look it up really quickly for me. But also you can find out more information on Dita's organization, Real Beauty, at realbeautyinc.org.
Will the name of the book be on her website?
The website for her book is what I'm trying to, I think it's called thebookfacevalues.com, but I'm just trying to verify that that's the right website. And, you know, I'm looking at the front cover of the book, and it's a silhouette of a woman, and it has all of these words, wisdom, joy, perfect, adorn, patient, love, class, believe, worth, eyes, foundation, amazing, happy, mind, God, girls, pretty, lip gloss, soul, heart, skin, makeup, lipstick, self-respect, shape, fabulous, value, trust, mascara, grace, lovely. You know, it's basically like she was saying how she just bridged together all that she does. So all that she does in her organization, Real Beauty, where she mentors girls, talking about self-esteem and loving yourself, as well as what she does, her work that she does as a celebrity makeup artist. So I thought this was really, really nice. Did you find it?
No, that didn't come up.
Okay. So, yeah, so if you go to her website, DitaMassey.com, for those of you who didn't catch the website for the book, if you go to DitaMassey.com, you can find her website for her book out there, and you can also get the book on Amazon. I purchased the book on Amazon. And when you go to the website for the book, it actually gives you a link to Amazon to purchase the book as well. So it's a great book about, let's see, it's about 67 pages. It's a quick read, but it's a good read. It's a lot of information in it. It's definitely worth picking up. So let's support our sister and fellow makeup artist and get Faith Values, the Foundation of Beauty. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We really do appreciate it. We have such an early call tomorrow, so we try to keep the conversation short tonight. A lot of times we normally go over, but we had to keep it short tonight. So stay tuned. Next Sunday night is Easter Sunday, so we will not have a show because I'll be traveling. But we will be back the following Sunday, and I do believe that following Sunday is April 3rd, I believe that is. So we'll be back with another guest, another great guest, another inspiring conversation. So everyone have a wonderful night. Have a beautiful and blessed week, and have a happy Easter. Good night, everybody.
Good night.